I think one of the biggest things too is communication. You know, is communication. The employer and the employee need to be in constant communication of everything that's going on, because, you know, it's, you've got two sides here, right? And everybody's trying to figure this out. But I think communication is the absolute biggest key, especially when we are slowly bringing the country back to normal. So on today's episode of C-Level, I'm excited to have Amanda Fairhoney, managing partner of Barrett and Fairhoney. And today we're going to be talking a lot about the legal issues surrounding COVID, what to know as an employer and what to know as an employee. So Amanda, welcome.
Thank you. It's glad to be here.
So Amanda, tell me, I'm really big on people's backgrounds. Tell me, you know, where are you from? How'd you get started? How'd you get started into law? That type of thing.
Oh, well, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I was just there this last week, getting to visit my parents, which was nice.
Awesome. Did you drive or did you fly? Okay, no,
definitely drove. This was okay, my first foray even out of my home. So, yeah. You know, this was a big deal.
Yeah.
But I got to see them, which was nice. And, my sister has a baby who's 6 months old, and this is the first time I got to meet her. So a lot of exciting things there. I got into law really because I met somebody who I thought was super cool and was a lawyer when I was 14, and he traveled the world and I loved to travel, and that was it. That was why I chose to become a lawyer. But why I chose employment law is I was really, I think, drawn to it. I have always been interested in women's issues and helping the underdog in situations and balancing injustices. And so that was a natural segue into employment law, where there's a lot of discrimination claims and a lot of unfairness and an imbalance between employers and employees usually.
Did you ever think that you would be practicing? A lot of stuff has changed, obviously, with COVID, but like practicing law through Zoom, like how's that experience been?
No, it's been absolutely crazy. I mean, to have court experiences where you're showing up in a courtroom with other lawyers and you're all on Zoom. And, you know, as I said before the show, I actually went to one of the court hearings dressed just like I am now, but with pajama bottoms on. So I can actually say I have appeared now in court in pajamas, and it wasn't just a bad dream.
That's great. Uh-oh. So there's a lot going on, you know, with COVID, and you know, we've got, gosh, over 36 million people have filed for unemployment. So what are some of the risks and liabilities for both the employer and the employee, especially now, as you know, here in Georgia, a lot of businesses are starting to open up. So what are you seeing?
You know, up until now, the issues were about how to keep people out of work and really how to ensure that they could be covered under unemployment. And as an employment lawyer, I really never dealt with unemployment at all, because it's just, you either get it or you don't. It's not a legal, truly a lawyer-based area. And I have been handling unemployment claims, figuring out how to navigate the system, because there's so much that's happening now that it's not just employees that are entitled to unemployment. There are self-employed individuals, there's the gig economy. And then once you're self-employed, then you've also got access to PPP loans. And so there's all of these different things to navigate through that is really far more complex than I think the normal person can handle. And I think we're seeing that, right? Because a lot of the small businesses are starting to close. The large businesses are the ones that were able to get the money. And that's probably because they had lawyers that were helping them all the way through, you know, handling what needed to be done. So that's really what I've seen a lot of in the last couple months. Now with Georgia opening, I'm seeing a lot more of what do we do to get people back to work? Who's going to get back to work? What are the laws around getting back to work? From the employee side, it's, do I have to go back to work? And from the employer side, it's, you know, who can I keep out of work? What do I need to do? How do I keep people safe? And so there's just, I mean, so many new issues that weren't even around in February.
It's, you know, how you mentioned that getting employees, how do I get them back to work? Because one of the things that, you know, that we're hearing and I'm hearing from other business owners is the unemployment is actually more than what they were probably making at work, even with the covered PPP loan. And I think there's some issues regarding employers that actually got the PPP loan, but these employees that were laid off are getting unemployment and there's more money on unemployment, right? So what would you recommend? How, because the employer has to bring them back. They have to pay them in order to get that waived. So how would you navigate those types of waters? What advice would you give a business owner to get their employees back?
Well, to start with, the PPP loan has been implemented in a way that's just been a mess, right? Because you're getting people who are getting the PPP loan being told they have to spend it in 8 weeks, but the business isn't even open. So now you're asking someone to come off of the unemployment in order to get on the PPP, which is going to only be for 8 weeks, and then to have to go back out until, you know, sometime in the future. And with the restaurants that aren't open, the entire entertainment industry, you know, where you see a lot of people who are making less than $50,000 are being impacted. And the unemployment, the way it is now through the end of July, and if the new bill passes all the way through the end of the year, or potentially March, is giving people essentially a $50,000 a year income. So, you know, at that point, it's, do you give up a $50,000 a year income when you are safe at home to come in and make $40,000 somewhere else? And the answer to that is the unemployment system won't allow that, right? So if you offer somebody their job back and they refuse to come back to work, then they now no longer are entitled to unemployment, right? And so they haven't lost their job because of COVID. There's work that's available for them, and they can't certify otherwise, and they've now refused work. And so they're not entitled to be on it. The other thing is that right now, the way that unemployment is working for COVID is that the employer is responsible from a week-to-week basis to certify that those employees are out. And if the employers are not certifying those people that they've invited back, then they're not going to get it. And then when they go and apply for their own unemployment, they're not going to get it. So it's really not an option for employees not to come back to work.
So that's a whole another topic too, is like businesses are opening up, but there are some employees that may not want to come back to work just because of the health risks and stuff like that. So that's like a whole nother thing, is like, hey, we want you to come back, we're willing to pay, but no, I'd rather just stay home. So how would you advise to handle something like that?
Well, from the employer side, it's come in or you're abandoning your job. From the employee side, there are some opportunities under a couple of the laws that have passed to stay out if they meet certain criteria. So just a general anxiety over COVID is not going to give them that exception. But if they, excuse me, but if they are having to stay home because they've got childcare issues, you know, the kids aren't in school, they don't have alternate childcare, they do get 2 weeks of paid time off under the Family First Care Act. And after that, they get an additional 10 weeks of paid time off at 2/3 of their pay for that next 10-week period. So the employer does have to provide that to them. There's limits on the employer size, so employers have to be less than 500 employees for that to be covered. But that's an option for paid sick time. And that's also true if you have symptoms or if you're taking care of somebody with symptoms. The real difficult area, I think, is when you've got somebody who doesn't want to come in because they're the caretaker and lives with someone who's high risk, and their fear of making that person sick is something that they don't want to come into the office for. And there's not right now any protection for that. I think that's Maryland's put some protections in for that, and I think that Georgia should as well, but Georgia doesn't typically pass laws for employees.
Interesting. Wow. So what are some of the rights for employees, and what has changed due to COVID? What are some of the things that have changed because of this?
So employees have rights. Employees who have disabilities are going to be the ones who have the most rights right now, because if they have some underlying disease, that puts them at high risk, or even something like a, you know, anxiety disorder that's been diagnosed before, OCD, those types of things. If they've got that and the employer is telling them to come back to work, then what they can do is tell them, look, I need an accommodation. And maybe that accommodation is teleworking, maybe it's some time off, but the employer is going to have to accommodate those people. And then the new laws that are coming in place is this Family First, which is the 2 weeks of paid sick leave, and then the EFMLA, which is the Emergency Family Medical Leave, but that's just for childcare. So those two things are going to cover childcare and COVID-type symptoms. And then laws that were in place already is going to be the FMLA, which is the Family and Medical Leave Act. And what that does is allows you to take care of you or someone else who has a serious health condition, which COVID would qualify. So it's really around getting sick and being sick or having an underlying condition where the protections are.
So we get a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business people that watch the show. And so what are some key things that you would tell an employer, or some advice you would give them to try to not harm the employer or things to listen for? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say all the CDC guidelines require masks. Gloves is another good thing. Make sure that the ability to hand wash is there. Hand sanitizers everywhere. Keep people distanced. So if you've got people, especially high-risk people, maybe you put them into offices, even if they weren't in offices before. But following those guidelines. And at that point, the spread is going to be much less. And then now there's an opportunity to take people's temperature as they come in. And if somebody is sick, then you can send them home. So all of those are legal. And that's going to be the best that can be done. If it's a type of work that requires coming into the office, I think a lot of us have realized that teleworking, although it doesn't work perfectly, it does work. And so, to the extent that a company has those abilities to do so, I would recommend they continue to do so. Our offices have been open, but not in office since March 10th. And so everybody went from March 10th to teleworking in the whole firm. And we've even hired new people, and which were planned hires. And we haven't even met face-to-face, which is definitely a different way to run business. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel the future looks like with business being operated now pretty much through Zoom and Skype calls and stuff like that? Do you think things are going to change for the permanent, or what do you see?
It's hard to know that. I mean, it's, I think there's going to be more of it. I think we realize that things can happen like this. There will probably be a push for a period of time of more of this. And then at some point people will come back to realizing, you really get more done in person. So the commute obviously is great for a lot of people. They don't, I have people who drive an hour each way to come to the office, and they are thrilled that they're not having to drive into the office.
Right.
So I think we'll see probably more staggered shifts with people, more home working. My goal for the firm had been for a long time to be able to grow it remotely. And so we were set up to be able to do that, which was really quite lucky. And I think we'll see more and more of that with law firms, because law firms are typically 10 years behind the business world. So
kind of wrapping up here, and employees that are looking to get back to work, what are some tips, what is some advice you would give them to properly enter the workforce?
Well, I would say make sure that they're protected in every way, right? Self-protection is going to be most important. If they see that their employer is not doing things the right way, raise those issues with the employer. And to protect yourself, you may want to look at raising them with OSHA as well, who can come in and do an investigation if these are severe. If there's any particular options or fears, or realized true fears beyond just the general fear about COVID and becoming implicated, then talk to a lawyer and reach out and see what it is that you need to do to make sure that you're protected.
So I think one of the biggest things too is communication. Is communication. The employer and the employee need to be in constant communication of everything that's going on, because you know, it's, you've got two sides here, right? And everybody's trying to figure this out, but I think communication is the absolute biggest key, especially when we are slowly bringing the country back to normal. Amanda, I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you. That was great. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the episode. If you guys enjoyed it, show some love, give me a thumbs up, and subscribe. Also, make sure you check out our exclusive C-Level group on Facebook.